Welcome to everyone. We are now starting with our talk on decentralized identifiers. Decentralized identifiers is basically like your email address in the digital world. You have one unique identification item. Okay, many of us may have a lot of email addresses or specified email addresses, but here we're talking about the one main email address, which is the one you use for communicating with your telecommunication provider, with your hosting provider. So the one unique address you use for all your important stuff, if you do it that way, and that is a unique identifier you could use. And Attila is now talking about different methods on decentralized identifiers, which is corresponding to the talk we just had on self-sovereign identity. And we will see each other here in a couple of minutes after the talk for our Q&A.
Hello, my name is Attila from Chainstep, and I would like to present you the topic of my master thesis, which was about creating a DID method for the SSI ecosystem. I hope you like it, and let's start. The title of this presentation is a DID method for Blova and describes it pretty well. It is about a DID method that is part of the Blova project. So let me start with a short agenda. The presentation is split in four parts. At first, I would like to tell you what the motivation behind creating the BBA DID method was. In the second part, I would like to discuss SSI from a more technical perspective. The third part is about the key characteristics of DIDs, and the last part is finally about the BBA DID method. So let me tell you something about the motivation. The motivation behind the Blova DID method was to make the Blova project SSI ready. Blova is a hobby project and investigates authentication mechanisms based on blockchain. Blova stands for blockchain-based authentication and is an open source project. The source code is hosted on GitHub. In its current state, it only uses the Ardour blockchain. Further information are available on the website and on GitHub. So to enable Blova to act in the SSI ecosystem, the BBA DID method was created. What actually is the self-sovereign identity model? SSI was first described in the article The Path to Self-Sovereign Identity by Christopher Allen. The key idea is to grant an entity full control over its digital identity. To do so, it utilizes blockchains as identity provider for digital identifiers. Even though blockchains are not the only option to store these identifiers, they are the most prominent ones. Another key aspect of SSI is the separation of identifiers and attributes. Identifiers are represented as DIDs, so-called decentralized identifier. Attributes, on the other hand, are wrapped in so-called VCs, which stands for verifiable credentials. An identifier, in general, identifies an entity, like an email address identifies the person who is in control of the address. Attributes are special aspects of an entity, like a postal address, birth date, or credit card number, but also permissions to do something or statements from other entities. The combination of identifier and its associated attributes creates an increasingly accurate image of a digital identity. Let me show you an example how authentication works in SSI. At first, a user self-sovereignly creates one or more DIDs on an SSI-enabled blockchain. If one then wants to authenticate, one represents one's DID to the service one wants to authenticate to. To check the authenticity of the DID and to ensure that the user is indeed the controller of the DID, the service initiates a challenge response workflow. To verify the signed response, the service resolves the DID and gathers the public key of the signature from the blockchain. With this mechanism, the user is able to self-manage one's identifiers and does not need to register to a third-party identity provider. If one then wants to add additional information like a postal address, one forwards a VC to the service. The key thing is that VCs are not stored on blockchain and can be managed everywhere the user wants. preferably in a user-owned domain. To standardize the authentication and authorization workflows, the Trust Over IP Foundation published a general SSI architecture, the so-called Trust Over IP stack. The Trust Over IP stack is a four-layered dual stack which separates human trust from technical trust. Human trust is about trust that cannot be achieved by technology. It is about governance topics and questions like, how can I be sure that this implementation is doing what it is supposed to do? Or how can I be sure that this provider is trustworthy? In general, it is about certificates and seals from trustworthy entities. Let's focus on the technical part. The technical stack is about technical trust. Technical trust represents trust in the mechanics of cryptography and mathematics. The bottom layer is all about identifiers and public keys. It serves as the root of trust in which DITs are being registered and managed. The second layer is about connecting SSI agents in a secure way. Agents are the pieces of software that represents entities in the SSI ecosystem. The DITCOM protocol, initially developed by the Hyperledger Aries project, is a peer-to-peer protocol and acts as the carrier protocol to achieve secure and reliable connections with the SSI ecosystem. The third layer is all about VCs. This is where the so-called VC trust triangle, consisting of the VC issuer, VC holder, and the VC verifier lives. The VC issuer is the entity that creates VCs over the VC holder and signs them with its DIT. The VC holder is the subject that the VC is about. He manages his VCs self-sovereignly and presents them to the VC verifier whenever he wants. The VC verifier is then able to verify the presented VC without the need to create a technical connection to the VC issuer. He only needs to know the DIT of the VC issuer. Of course, to accept the presented VC, the verifier needs to trust the VC issuer. As an example, a bank as the VC issuer issues a VC about the credit trustworthiness of the VC holder. The VC holder then goes to a car dealer to buy a car and presents the VC to prove that he can afford the car. The car dealer proves and accepts the VC, and the VC holder buys the car and drives home with his new car. The top layer is about ecosystem. This is where standards of VC schemas or schemes come into play. Every entity following accepting a specific VC schema is part of a specific ecosystem. So let's focus on the bottom layer and have a look at what a DIT is actually about. A DIT is a resolvable, decentralized identifier. It is backed by a verifiable data registry, which is in most cases a blockchain. A DIT identifies a DIT subject, which can be of any kind, a person, a process, a company, a cat, etc. A DIT is controlled by a DIT controller, which is in many cases the same entity as a DIT subject. Only the DIT controller is able to modify the DIT document. Every DIT is resolvable into a cryptographically linked DIT document. A DIT document contains public accessible information like public keys and service endpoints. The DIT resolver is responsible to resolve a DIT into its corresponding DIT document, similar to a browser that resolves an HTTP link into an HTML document. A DIT is always generated by a DIT method. A DIT also follows the generic DIT schema. The schema always starts with the prefix DIT, followed by a DIT method identifier, followed by a DIT method specific identifier. The blobber method schema, for example, looks like this. It contains the prefix DIT, followed by the blobber DIT method identifier, which is BBA, followed by a blobber DIT method specific string. Let me show you how a DIT document looks like before we have a closer look into the DIT methods. A DIT document may look like this. It always contains a link to a schema that provides information on how to interpret the DIT document fields and the DIT it is linked to. In most cases, it also contains public keys for specific contexts and service endpoints for further interactions. So let's talk about DIT methods. Every did method follows its own specification, which describes how to implement a specific did schema to function with a specific verifiable data registry. Each specification has to fulfill some basic requirements, including the following three key requirements. It must be adequately detailed to be implemented independently so that a third party is able to implement a resolver based on this specification only. It must include a method-specific did schema, and it must also include the method-specific CRUD operations, which describe how a did can be created and read or resolved, how the did document and the did controller can be updated, and how the did can be deactivated. So let me finally present you the BBA did method. Instead of showing you the whole specification, I would like to present you some key characteristics. The Bloober did or BBA did utilizes the Ardour blockchain as its verifiable data registry. It uses two transaction types of the Ethos child chain. Ardour is a multi-chain architecture in which child chains are secured by the Ardour parent chain. The first transaction type is called account property and is used to manage DIDs and DID controllers. An account property transaction lets you attach arbitrary data to a blockchain account in the form of a property key value pair. The second transaction type used to store DID document templates is called data cloud. With this transaction type, it is possible to store bigger chunks of data within the blockchain. A DID document template is a DID document without a DID. Filling the corresponding DID into the DID document is part of the resolution process. A DID controller is always an Ardour account. DID controller and DID document management are split. This makes the BBA DID method capable of extending the DID document handling and to enable additional storage options. It is, for example, possible to add IPFS support so that the document template is stored on IPFS and the IPFS address is then linked to the DID. An Ardour account as a DID controller can also control multiple DIDs. So let me show you how the BBA DID schema looks like. The BBA DID schema starts with the prefix DID followed by the BBA string to indicate that it is a Bloober DID. The BBA method-specific identifier itself consists of two substrings. The first part indicates the network type and can be M for mainnet or T for testnet. It can also be omitted, which then indicates a mainnet DID. The second part consists of the transaction hash of the first account property transaction related to the DID. So how can this information be used to resolve the DID document? The basic workflow to resolve the BBA DID is the following. The first part is to gather the account property transaction identified by the transaction hash included in the DID. This transaction provides the following information. The property name contains an internal DID identifier, which is used to track the DID within the Ardour blockchain. The property value contains encoded information about the DID following this schema. The first three characters indicate the BBA DID method version. Every data field is separated by the pipe character. The next information indicates the state of the DID. It can be active, represented by an A, inactive, represented by an I, or deprecated, represented by a D. In case of deprecation, which indicates that the DID is no longer controlled by the Ardour account this account property belongs to, the redirect account data field holds the new DID controller account. Otherwise, it is filled with zeros as its default value. The storage type field indicates the storage method that was used to store the DID document template. C stands for Ardour's cloud storage. The last data field is the DID document template reference. It is filled with the pointer that can be used to retrieve the DID document template. In case of the Ardour cloud data method, it contains the transaction hash of the data cloud transaction in which the template is stored. After retrieving the template, the only missing step is to include the DID into the template and to return the DID document. So, enough theory, let's see it in action. There's a web page available to easily play with the BBA did method operations, which is called BUBCO and stands for Web UI for BBA CRUD operations. So yeah, let's create a did. We will create a did on the Ardour testnet network and with the did document key in form of elliptic curve, which is used for authentication. And we will also create a dummy service with this kind of information here. So let's create it. And that's it. We've now created a did on the Ardour blockchain, and we can see the information here, which is the did document we just created and the key for the did document key. You can also save the did and download the information here. So yeah, we can see now the transactions issued to create the did. This is the official web UI from Ardour. And if we now, for example, copy the transaction hash and search for it, we'll see the did information here. And as a second step, we can copy this transaction hash and find the data cloud transaction here and the did document here. So this works. Cool. We can also resolve this did with the did resolver here. So let's copy the complete did and input in this field. Now we get this information as well in a more comfortable way. And the BBA did method is also resolvable by the uniresolver. As you can probably see, yep, there it is. The uniresolver is a project from Decentralized Identity Foundation and is there to provide one unique resolver for a lot of, best case, all possible did methods. Yeah, but that's it. Cool. I hope you liked the presentation and got a better understanding of what SSI is about and how the BBA did method works. If you're interested, check out the BBA did method repo, where you can find the complete specification and everything related to the BBA did method in SSI, and also have a look at our Chainstep website. Thanks for your attention.
Ja, herzlich willkommen zurück. Ich mag an dieser Stelle nochmal ganz groß auf unsere Question-and-Answer-Option im IRC verweisen. Also schreibt uns eure Fragen. So please send over your questions in the IRC, so we have a chance to answer them here together with our speaker. Our signal angel Otanase is waiting for you at the moment to give us all your questions over. Attila, you were just talking about the decentralized identifiers. So what is the special thing about the identifier you use here compared to others?
I think the only special thing is that I've created it for the Ardour blockchain, which hadn't a decentralized identifier before. So now Ardour is one more option for using as a verifiable data registry in the SSI ecosystem. Yeah.
And all right, so we are currently still looking at the pad from the Signal Angel. At the moment, there are no questions which came in for now. Have everything so clear that no one has any question to ask for that. I can thank you in this moment very much for your talk. Thanks for the great time. And when I don't see anyone coming up here, I would say we close this talk for now. And I wish you lots of fun in the 2D world to run around a bit. Maybe we find you in the one or other hallway. And Great to see you also on a physical event if we can ever have it again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and hope we'll see you again.
Bye, Attila.
Bye.